Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Great Commission. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We pray that you'd be with us now and speak through me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, mountains have been in the news this week. Our Prime Minister has announced we're moving from level 3 to level 2, and she described it as like coming down from Mount Everest. Do you know, I personally love mountains, mountain ranges, and mountain tops. It's because on the top of mountains, you can just see, well, further, wider, and broader. And today, we're thinking about the Great Commission, especially in the context of a mountaintop where it was given, and then also the ascension of the risen Jesus Christ. In our reading, Jesus gives a charge to his disciples, and that it is both broad and wide. And in fact, it's not just a great commission, it is a dual commission. Two for the price of one. Firstly, there's an inner commission. An inner commission which brings hope and grace and salvation to the believer's heart. And then, more broadly, there's an outer commission which brings hope and grace and salvation to a lost and hurt and broken world. So let's first look at the inner commission. Worship the risen Christ. We're in verse 16 and 17 of the Gospel of Matthew from our reading. And Jesus said, "Then the disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." So Jesus firstly directed his disciples to a mountaintop, there to meet him, to see him, to experience his unconditional love, but most importantly, to worship him, to worship the risen Christ. And notice that they're to do this even in the midst of their doubts, their struggles, and their hesitations. When it comes to mountaintops, struggles, following and worshiping Jesus, Bear Grylls comes to mind. My wife Sarah and I first met Bear at a Christian house party a few years ago. We were leading worship at the house party, and Bear came along as a guest speaker. He'd just returned from climbing Mount Everest, and he came along with slides and a story of that journey. He was the youngest man at that time ever to do so, British man, at 21 years old. I'm just going to read briefly from this book that Bear wrote, Facing Up, about his experience of summiting Mount Everest. And here's a description of what happened at the top. He writes, "As I drew now closer, my eyes welled up with tears, tears creeping down my cheeks inside my goggles. The summit of Mount Everest opened her arms and welcomed me. My climbing comrade, Neil, arrived. We knelt. We crossed ourselves. Neil and I hugged as brothers. The summit was only about 6 square feet. I stood on it and I couldn't stop smiling. For 20 minutes, we just sat and just gazed. I stared in utter amazement. I wanted the moment to last forever." Do you know, it made me think, wouldn't it be great just to experience some of those emotions that Bear experienced when we come to the mountaintop, as it were, to worship the risen Christ? Just think for a moment, those tears. It'd be great, just tears of joy or tears of sadness, of repentance. Bear mentioned how the mountaintop welcomed him, embraced him. Wouldn't it be great as we worship the risen Christ to feel our Father's embrace? They knelt in prayer, in worship of the risen Christ. It's so right and good at times just to kneel in humility. There's hugging. Well, there's fellowship with others. I love the joy. Couldn't stop smiling. Isn't that our experience? Or shouldn't that be our experience as we worship the risen Christ? Smiling and joy. And then it ends with a sense of awe and amazement. Just standing there in the presence of our Lord, amazed and in awe. Now, I know that it's probably impossible to experience all those emotions all the time, every time we gather together to worship Christ. But shouldn't it be occasionally, shouldn't we just experience those wonderful emotions that touch our hearts, that we experience the risen Jesus Christ? I'm so looking forward to gathering again as church. And I pray that that would be our experience as we come together to worship the risen Christ. Do you know, when it comes to fulfilling the Great Commission, I have to ask myself, do I do this with that rich sense and experience of Christ's presence with me? Do I take time each day, maybe at the beginning of the day, simply to put a time aside to worship, to kneel in humility, to admit my honest struggles and doubts and hesitations? Do you know, to be honest, so often I've tried to carry out this commission without much communion with the risen Christ. It's, well, more activity rather than abiding. I'm so looking forward to coming out of lockdown, 6-7 weeks. But there's something I have personally learned that I pray that I won't forget, and that is to spend more time with Jesus, simply worshiping Him, setting a time aside each day to be with Him, to sit at His feet, to give Him my undivided attention and worship. And the wonderful thing is, the promise is that if we do this, then Acts 1, verse 8 kicks in. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. So there it is, an inner commission, first and foremost, to worship the risen Christ, which leads to an outer commission. And that is the witness and work of discipleship. We're now on verse 19 and 20. Matthew's gospel, and Jesus says to his disciples, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now the charge from Jesus here is the making of disciples. But what should this look like? Well, let's attend to the text. What does it say? It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I love what American poet Dallas Willard, how he paraphrased these words by saying this. It means surrounding people, immersing them in the reality of the Trinitarian community. Do you know, when someone first witnessed to me and led me to Christ, I was wonderfully saved and converted from a very destructive lifestyle. And then I was introduced to the church and I was baptized, full immersion in water, baptized into the death, life, risen life of the Lord Jesus Christ, into the hope and healing grace. But my baptism was just the beginning. Not long after I was baptized, the pastor of the church introduced me to an elderly man, a gentle, wise old gentleman. And I would go and visit him one evening per week over several weeks, and he would read the Bible with me, answer all my dumb questions, ask me questions, and share Bible stories with me and pray with me. and through whom I was immersed into the Father, Son, and Spirit through the Word of God. Not long after that, I ended up living with a Christian family. When I went to them, I was saved and set free, but I was a social nightmare. Some people still say I'm a social nightmare. But as I went to the family, they taught me over several years through their love in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how to be a Christian, how to walk with Christ. I was immersed in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when it comes to this outer commission of witness and work, of discipling others, over the years I'm beginning to see that it maybe a less hurried approach may be best. Simply helping a new follower to be more immersed in the presence of Jesus so as to share the way of life with them, and then they go and share that way of life with others. That one-on-one discipleship was so important. Well, there's two for one, a great commission, but a dual commission. There's an inner commission of worship of the risen Christ, and out of that flows an outer commission to go out and do the work of witnessing and the work of discipleship. Now, just for the last few minutes that I have, we're going to return to the mountaintop, and we're going to return to Luke's account in the book of Acts of the ascension, which is the context of this great commissioning. Luke writes, Acts 1, verse 9, after he said this, Jesus was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Now the question is, did this actually happen? Was Jesus the first cosmonaut sort of rising up into the clouds like a rocket? Well, some have sought to discredit the ascension, to say, no, it never happened. Impossible. But there are two very important reasons why we should reject this. Firstly, Luke relies heavily on eyewitness accounts throughout his gospel and throughout the book of Acts. And he does so here in this short passage of the ascension. Luke writes, Jesus was taken up before their very eyes until a cloud hid him, and Luke writes, from their sight. And then Luke speaks of two angels standing there who spoke of their having seen him go into heaven. Basically, five times Luke stresses that the ascension took place visibly. It happened. Secondly, the ascension had a purpose. Now, the reason for a public and visible ascension is that Jesus wanted his disciples and his friends to know that he had gone for good. During the past 40 days, he had kept appearing, reappearing, disappearing. But now that interim period had come to an end. It was over. And this time, his departure was final. And they were not to wait around on the mountaintop or go and look and try and find a next resurrection appearance. No. They were told that they must go and wait in hope. They were to come down from the mountain and go and wait with hope for someone else to come. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. They were to wait for the Holy Spirit. In just a few weeks, we'll be looking at the coming of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost. Do you know, mountaintops They are wonderful, wonderful places to get away to. I love going up mountains, getting away, staying up there. It's nice, peaceful, quiet, no one to disturb you. But just like the disciples, we can end up sort of just, you know, gazing up into the sky, wanting to stay at the top of the mountain. No, but today we're reminded that we have been commissioned to come down from the mountain, to go down into the valleys of this world, and even to go to the ends of the earth. It is to the valleys, it is to the earth, not the sky, that it is to be the Christian's preoccupation. Our calling is to be worshippers of the risen Christ, and we're to be witnesses and to do the work of discipleship. We're not to stand on mountaintops and be stargazers. For this, we need to wait in hope for the power of the Holy Spirit to come. And let's do that now. Let's come and ask the Holy Spirit to come and empower us and to be with us. Wherever you are, whether you're sitting or you might want to stand in your living room or wherever you are, just to be open to God's Spirit now. You may want to stay sitting, but I encourage you, wherever you are, to just adopt an attitude of openness to the Holy Spirit. You just want to possibly just put out your hands like you're going to receive a gift. You just close your eyes, or lift your face upwards to heaven. Let's do that now. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to come. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you now to come. Whoever is watching this, wherever they are, I pray your Holy Spirit to come now to touch hearts, to touch lives, Lord, by your power. Lord, come and embrace your people with your love. Touch their hearts with joy. Send smiles on your people's faces, Lord. Bring joy, refreshment. Come, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to give you a sense of his love, his joy, his freedom, his grace. He wants you to worship him, to experience the risen Christ. Let's wait for a moment in silence as the Holy Spirit comes to touch our hearts and minister to us. Come, Holy Spirit. More of your love, Lord. More of your power. Thank you, Lord. And maybe just one or two people watching this might want to commit, maybe on a daily basis, to put aside time to worship Jesus, maybe in the morning for a few moments or in the afternoon, evening, uninterrupted time to simply kneel before the risen Christ, to worship him, to receive from him. Lord, I pray for everyone who has watched this today, and I pray that you would cover them all in the grace and power and the blessing of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may God be with you. Amen.